All right. Guys, it's 9:30. We got a lot of miles to go before we sleep, so let's pray and jump in. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for a night's rest and this day, which is your day. We want to honor you, love you today in it, be aware of your presence at work in our lives. Holy Spirit, we ask you to just take the reins and you take us where you want us to go today. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, I sent you home last Sunday with a homework assignment, and I didn't mean to scare anybody, and I didn't want you to feel like condemned. I didn't really have time to talk about it as much as I wanted to, but so this morning I want to open up kind of going back and taking a quick look at that. You know, God is all about life, and that's what he wants for us is life. And so when we look at the concept of life in the Bible, I see it dropping into two neat little categories. One is eternal life, which is what we get when we are saved in salvation. And the other one is abundant life, which is, I think, what happens to us as we enter into the process of sanctification. Okay? So that little homework assignment is just a thought that I've had of kind of doing a little self-check to see where am I and how am I doing in the abundant life side of things. And so if you put down all A's, wonderful, I'll sit down and just go ahead and let's take the rest of the month up here. But I don't think any of us would be able to put down an A in every one of those categories because you know what? We haven't hit the new heavens and the new earth and our glorified bodies. We're going to get there. But in this life, as we're living outside of Eden, working through all of these issues in a fallen world, it's something that we'll always be moving, hopefully, towards as we mature and become more like Christ. I think I gave them all out last week, but all it is just the fruits of the Spirit. There you go. It was just a list of the fruits of the Spirit. So, for instance, first fruit of the Spirit is love, right? And I get to thinking about my life, and I think, okay, I'm doing okay in that. But boy, there's a lot of times when I'm just kind of selfish, and like this morning, I'm lying in bed, and I'm just hoping that Debbie will be the one that brings me the cup of coffee instead of me getting up and going and making her the cup of coffee. So, you know, just the times when our kids were little and I confessed to my shame how I would pretend to be asleep when the baby needed to be fed or changed in the middle of the night. I think she's forgiven me for that, but anyway, just that category of love in our lives, like how are we really doing? And it's a constant battle. Just, you know, I love myself a lot, but right. And so, like, the next one is, what is it, peace? Like, how much peace do you have in your life? And how much peace does God want for you in your life? And so, like, do we still have room to grow? Joy? Is your life, would people look at you and say, that person is so joyful? And, you know, you kind of go, well, maybe I'll give myself about a C- in this area. So I've got room to grow. And that's what Jesus wants for us. You know, it's not just life. He says abundant life is what his desire is. And so just thinking about all that, I want to keep us in a posture of humility to say, you know, I've not arrived yet. God ain't finished with me yet. But also a posture of hopefulness and expectation and saying, man, if that's what Jesus came to give me, let me have it. I'll take it, right? Just go ahead and help me, Lord, to grow in these areas. Somebody was going to say something, I think? Nope.
I wanted to share one thing.
Go ahead.
I love him so much. He's very patient with me.
Yeah.
Very impatient, and when
Come on. Yeah. 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 Right, right. That's good. So you went from about a C minus, now you're up to about a B.
I would call it starting at an F.
F, okay. All right. Yes. Yeah, go ahead, John.
When you were talking there, you said abundance.
Yeah.
What is your definition of abundance, and what is God's definition of abundance?
Yeah, and... Right.
So
right.
That's his definition.
Uh-huh.
Abundance as well as
yes.
Maybe our definition.
Yeah.
What's your definition?
I think the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and I think wisdom is making sure that I agree with God. And so I want his definition to be more and more my definition. And so getting to know him better, asking him to remove blind spots, being humble to say, change me however you see fit. And that's moving toward, that's wisdom and trying to agree with God. Like, right. And then just let him do what
wisdom
he wants.
Is
make, yeah.
Physical as far as food and
right. Very much so. And also just in a posture of trusting him as a loving father and being daily dependent, just relying on him every day. Just in a...
Then you also have mentally, emotionally.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all those things.
Right. Yeah.
From him.
Yeah. And that really has little to do with like our circumstances. It's so much more of just this connection of just knowing that God, your Heavenly Father, is holding you tight in his big strong arms and you can rest. I mean, he wants us to rest. That's a big part of this. And I would say the person that's resting in those arms and not just something I read about that in the Bible. No. In your down deep, your identity, you've met people who are just they're just full of trust. They're resting in God. They have a peace. The fruit of the Spirit. And it's wonderful when you run into somebody that really like is, because that's not just for them. I mean, it's great. But what a blessing that is to everybody around them. It's like a fruit tree. That fruit's for everybody around them. And so as we work to let the Holy Spirit do his work and let it change us and become more like Christ. Man, you're just a bright spot in other people's day. You know, it's like they're happy to see you. You're just sharing that life and God's light in a really dark world. So let's continue on because we're trying to get back to our theme of the pressure's off. Okay. So one of the things about report cards that always made me feel like the pressure was on. Like, I should have studied harder. And yet what I want to do, though, is tie that back into, if we can get our heads around this idea of what the gospel really has to say to us and how the pressure's off, that we're going to find that we are able to have more peace, be able to love people better, have joy in our life. So this slide right here says, why is life so hard? Unless you want to fight with me on that and disagree with me. But it's just those other people, dang it. If I could get everybody to go along with me, man, this world would be a great place, right? No conflict. That's one method, is just get everybody to agree with you. But good luck with that, right? The other people, why is life so hard? Come on, talk to me. Yeah, why is that? What do you think?
Well, Bill Gothard, I remember a line that he said that the source of all conflict is a resisting or rejecting the desire and the power God gives to respond to life according to the will of God. So I think it all goes back to, are we in the will of God? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing according to John 5:30?
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
So I think it's like the refining fire. You know, even like when the people around us irritate us, that's really God's way. They're supposed to rub up against us to pull out the things in us that He wants to change.
What an interesting idea that stress isn't always a bad thing.
Doesn't mean it's not hard and that it's not
bad. Yeah. Right?
But it has a purpose.
Yeah. Somebody else, why is our life so hard?
I think we fight the brokenness that's required that the Lord wants.
Uh-huh.
We fight. It's a natural world thing to fight that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's brokenness all around.
Where did that come from?
Well, some of it's because we're stupid and we make stupid decisions.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just see things differently. But again, you pick that up. You know, it's such a process, and it's a good one.
Yeah. Come right on through. Is this for sale? Anybody missing that? Oh, there we go. We have a winner. Yeah. Right.
And it talks about to guard your heart with everything that's within you.
Uh-huh.
With all diligence, everything that's within you, guard your heart.
Yeah.
I say eye gaze, ear gaze, mouth gaze.
Right.
And because out of that comes the issues of life.
Uh-huh.
And if so, you know, like we are what we think.
Yeah.
And if we're moved by what we see, we open up our eye gaze to let that be sown into our souls.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that you're tending to life and
yeah.
To the grave, so to speak. And so I'm like, so when the stress comes and challenges come,
yep.
To see it as that opportunity and not let it get you down, or drag you down like a weight. And
right.
When we did that, we allowed it inside of our gates.
Uh-huh.
And that's why it's such a challenge. That's
yeah.
Why it's such a hard thing. And mm-hmm. So when we turn loose,
yeah.
And say, well, no matter what's going on right here, right now, this is going to turn around for my good. I'm going to be praying to the Spirit about this.
Yeah.
It's going to turn around for my good. And also for that person's good or situation mm-hmm. to turn around. But it's the
yeah.
Work.
Yeah.
It's a lack of soul work is what it's been.
Yeah. Done. Right?
Yeah.
Good. Yes. We're going to come to that. Yeah, we're going to get to that. So I'll expect you to just chime right in on there. Here's something that I've just been thinking about that I hadn't really considered before. And it's coming from, I just want to recommend to everybody, there's a wonderful group out there called the Bible Project. And they have podcasts and just tons of stuff that's super well researched and a lot of really good, just fantastic scholarship and talking about lots of themes in the Bible. But one of them was that in the creation, when God created the earth, Remember the very first verses in Genesis there, it's talking about it's dark, you know, and it was talking about this, the waters, the chaotic waters that were there before God started to do anything in chapter 1. Chapter 2, it was kind of a desert, and then he did something, and he put a garden in the middle of it. And that in the ancient cultures, this idea of darkness and these chaotic, scary, dangerous waters and the desert were all kind of their ideas of what was going on before God began to bring order and divide the day and the night and put the land in the water and build a plant a garden in a wilderness. But and then everything that God did, he said it was good, right? But he didn't say the darkness was good, and he didn't say those waters were good, and he didn't say the wilderness was good. But at this stage in the history of the world, we have these good things that God did, but there's still a lot of chaos, right? I mean, those waters are there, and the wilderness, you know. I've been studying the theme of the wilderness through the scriptures. But anyway, so we live in a world that has, you know, clear divisions. There's the kingdom of God, and there's the kingdom of darkness. And each decision that we make as we walk through life is either going to take us a step closer to what God has for us, or we're going to be sliding back into that pre-creation kind of chaos, you know, and that's the devil. He came sneaking in as a serpent out of where? The wilderness, you know, and he came in. He wanted to take them down and back to where they were. But if you read into Revelation and how it's all where we're headed and where it's going, it's interesting to see that in that future time, there's not going to be any more tears, crying. He's going to heal us of our diseases. We're going to have eternal life. The weird little verse in there that says, there will be no more sea. And I thought that was a bummer for people that like surfing. But then I came to realize that was really symbolic thing, because the sea in the scriptures is talking about this chaotic kind of pre-creation time. So that'll be gone. It's all just going to be the good part that God created. No more wilderness, because when the new heavens and the new earth come, a new earth comes, it's just going to be one big Eden. And then he says there won't be any need for the sun anymore, because his light, his presence is going to light it. So no more darkness or night. So right now, what I'm getting at is right now we live in a world that's a mixed bag. I've heard people say, yeah, at this time we're living outside of Eden, and we're all working to get back to that, but the day is coming. Oh, and so in this world, it's kind of like a swirled mixture of there's still the chaotic and the darkness and the death and everything, with all the good stuff that God made and the life and all that. We're trying to get a hold of that, but the day is coming when we wouldn't have to have this class, because there will be no more stress. There will be no more sickness, tears, death. It's going to be perfect. So you see what I'm saying? Right now in this life, we live in a world that's a mixed bag. It's good and it's bad. But we're headed to the place where it's going to be perfect. So part of my question is, why is there stress? Well, it's just the world that we live in right now. It's part of life. And if you think you can get through life without running into any hardship or pain or suffering, you're deceiving yourself. So why is life so hard? It's just the way it is right now. And then where is that peace that we're looking for? Jesus invites us to rest, right? He wants us to come rest. He says it so clearly in Matthew 11. You know, come unto me. Come unto me. So here's a question I'd like to ask you to think about this one a second. Why is that so hard for us? Why don't we just run to him? Lee, go ahead.
There's so many distractions that we actually like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil will make sure you like the distractions more than you have time to do.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a headwind that we're moving against, you know. Somebody who is determined to keep us from entering into that rest. Yeah, we don't want to deny that. Yeah.
The unknown? What happens if I turn loose in the
Oh, that you might be more comfortable in the patterns that you have that are unhealthy because you're afraid to let them go. Yeah? Yep. I don't know if we should repeat that one. Like medicate yourself. And you think about all the people that are self-medicating with lots of other kinds of things, right? Yeah, that's easy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Yes, that's so good. You know, talking about in the list of sins, of how high up on that list the sin of pride is. Just not because we look that good or we're that smart, but we resist anybody messing with our stuff, and we kind of say, just leave me alone. I'm okay, or I'm going to fix this myself. You know, I'll take care of this one. Right, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why is it so hard? It would seem like with this wonderful offer, you know, here's Jesus. Like, guys, just come on. It would seem like anybody who had a half a brain would just drop everything and run, you know, straight into his arms, but yet, we don't. Anybody else? Why is that? Yeah. Yes. All right. Yes. Yes. Yep. Right. Yes. Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think you're making a good point about God's offered all these things to us, and but what is our daily experience? Like, how are we doing with all that? And are we appropriating and taking? He says, here's the rest. How are we doing on taking it? I mean, no question about he's offering it. So let me just remind us all of this wonderful verse in the Bible where Jesus is hanging on the cross and he says, you know what? It is finished. And I'm just thinking, I think the next slide says, okay, let's think about those words. It is finished. How does that tie into the phrase, the pressure's off? If you just stopped and said to yourself, Jesus said this, it is finished. How would that take the pressure off of us? What do you think? Yeah. Can you say that one more time? I'm missing it.
Because he said the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Right. Right. There you go. Good. That's a good one to be reminded of. And just say, you know what? Jesus took care of the devil. That was a once and for all. That doesn't mean that they're still out there, but he's got them on that leash. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. Were you going to say something? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, is that all you've got?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, to me, that's a good way to put that.
Yeah. go ahead. Yes. It is finished. Yeah.
It's a choice how we have to respond. I mean, sometimes the world is just too much information at once. You can't process it fast enough.
Yeah.
But if you take it in as information and you have a chance to respond to the information you're receiving and walking in the peace with Christ and in His will, you will have a response.
Yeah. Good, good.
But you have to understand that you get to that by being close in His presence and through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You have the answer. Sometimes we just get so overwhelmed we respond.
Right.
Before we answer how we want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think the word "it" means? It is finished. Everything. The old covenant's done. All the work. Okay, Lee. Yeah. Yeah. The whole mission that Jesus had come on to redeem mankind and to be able to offer forgiveness for the sins of the world. Whose job was that? That was Jesus' job. And so when he said it's finished, he did his work. So I find that a lot of times I create stress for myself by trying to take on all this stuff, and I try to get in there and I try to do the work and I try to earn the brownie points and I try to get the attaboys and the pats on the back and I try to do all this stuff to make God maybe accept me or like me and you know all this stuff, and I'm looking at me and really. If I could just look at Jesus, he's the one it's his work, and he said it's finished. You know, wonderful. That's great. That takes the pressure off of me, right? The guy who's really responsible has really done it. Hallelujah. That's pretty good stuff, right?
I'm always looking for attaboys for my wife.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. All right. I mean, we wrote down a bunch of things last week about like where our stress was coming from. Let me just kind of sum up some of those and add a couple. And then we're going to go ahead now. Finally, we're good. We're done pretty much with the introduction. Now we're going to start rolling up our sleeves. We're going to go to meddling, okay? We're going to start digging around in our hearts and say, well, you know, how are we handling all this stuff? So here, where do you experience pressure? Okay, let me just read this list. Perfectionism, some people kind of struggle with that, and that's exhausting, you know. Conditional love, that'll wear you out. An absence of grace. I put this one down because I am a firstborn child. I'm married a firstborn child, and that can be hard sometimes. We'll see if we got any more in the class. Control issues can really wear you down. Either pride or the opposite, kind of this false humility, are things that can get us really worn down. Our identity, as far as like our self-worth and what we're trying to do to respond to that. Insecurity, the hours and the years that I spent feeling stressed because of that. If you deal regularly with like fear or anxiety in your life, boy, that will just, it'd be great to hear that the pressure was off from that. Injustice, being treated unfairly is something that we experience a lot in Mexico, and it'll wear you down. Anger, if you're dealing with anger a lot of time, boy, just think about the emotional energy that has to go into that, and wouldn't it be great if the pressure was off? And then just conflict. And I heard one last night that I thought maybe we should add, and that is just like people who struggle with shame and how the gospel could take the pressure off of anybody that's struggling with shame. So let's go to, let's talk about how we experience these things. How does the gospel take off that pressure in each of those areas? So here we go. We're going to start in on the first one. And honestly, I don't have like piles of notes and stuff. I just, I'm hoping that people here in the class will help us to think through this. But let's start this way. I might do this on each one of these. I'm going to just show you this little thing. This is like the report card, okay? And so a five means that you struggle with this in your life a pretty good bit, and a zero, you're one of those rare people that never thinks about this, and anywhere between, like you can put up a one or a three or a four or whatever, but in your life, then, take a moment to think, where do I put myself in this one area? How much am I, like, really driven by trying to get everything right all the time, okay? And then come up with a number, 0 to 5, and just, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, go, and I want everybody to just kind of put up their grade, okay? And you can look around, and if you see somebody else, you know, that has that number, y'all can get together and minister to each other after the class, all right? All right, ready? Think about it. 1, 2, 3, go. Okay, just look around a little bit here. Okay, look around. Yeah, we have a wide range here of folks. All right. So, hands down. Now let's talk about this a little bit. Like, what does that look like? What does that feel like in your life? If that's one of your things that's keeping you from abundant life, okay? How do you experience that? Yeah. Oh my goodness. Did y'all hear that? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. Yep. Yep. Yes.
And because, especially with the kids, I was hoping to be, you know, the world's first perfect mom. You know, that was my one job.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it as best I could. I wanted to do it perfectly.
Yeah.
And I messed up so badly.
Right.
That it rolled back down and crushed me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's too hard.
Right. Yeah. It is too hard.
I should have given up a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
oh, great. Chime in. Yeah. Why don't we ever succeed? Well, I think of a verse out of the Bible that just says, like, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? Yeah.
I think there has to be a balance because some people are
enthusiastic. Right. Yeah. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Forgive yourself when you don't.
Yeah. Yep. I really like that.
When you're trying to be perfect.
Yep.
That opens the door to what I think is feeling inferior when you're not able to be that way.
Makes you feel inferior. Like a loser, a failure.
How can you be, you know, perfect consistently?
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be moments going on the roller coaster for the most of the life.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. How exhausting that would be, huh?
Very exhausting. It's so good. Excited, going up, and then screaming.
Screaming. Right, right.
Yeah, when we think we're perfect, God has to teach us a loving lesson.
Yeah.
And get us to the point where hopefully we know we don't have it, but he does. We need to lean on him for that perfection.
First, the humility. The way you have to be.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We have to lay down our insecurity and understand the cross gave us our identity.
Right.
Identity is in the triune God.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus. And so we will not be perfected now in this earth.
Right. Striving is a really good word for like what that guy's doing right there. Yeah. 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 Right. Yes. Right. Here's a thought. This idea of being of perfectionism, this expectation that people will put on themselves, like I've got to be perfect. That's just a lie, right? Because it's impossible, right? But here's a thought. Why do you suppose the devil pushes that lie so hard? Why does he want people to believe that? Were you going to say something?
I would.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Not God's standard.
Uh-huh.
So when he says you're perfect, you're perfectly created.
Yeah.
What perfectly created holds.
Yeah.
So the thing is, when we say that we need to be perfect, we're not trying to be perfect in God's eye. We're trying to be really perfect in our own eye.
Uh-huh.
And so that's part of repentance, is change the way you think.
Yeah.
Unless you change the way you think, y'all want to bear, you all want to allow the stone to hold back the
color. Right. Yeah. 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 Right, right. Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. And, you know, he just loves to have, he loves you to make you feel like a failure, right? The accuser of the brethren. But, like, think about this. If he could convince somebody that it was possible to be perfect, and they're out there killing themselves to do it, then where is all their focus and all their attention? Right here, right? And if you maybe could be perfect, what would be the point of the cross? You wouldn't need Jesus. And don't you think that's exactly what the devil wants people? You know, that's one of his things. He says, if I could just convince this person they don't really need Jesus, they can just do it on their own, he'll laugh them all the way to hell, you know? Yeah. 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 Where? Yeah, that's it. Yeah, amen. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. So I want to wind up because the bell's ringing here, but I want to just stop and everybody here that had up a 4 or 5, I want you to think about this great news that I have for you this morning. The pressure is off. Exactly because the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. Praise God. We don't have to be perfect. Jesus was perfect. And we're in Christ. And our sins have been washed away. And instead of looking at ourselves all the time about, oh, I didn't quite get it perfect. We could just keep looking at Jesus and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, that's great news this morning. Okay, we're gonna pray, and then we're gonna, like, next week we'll jump into all kinds of other things that this is just wonderful good news. You know, hey, the pressure is off. We can come to Jesus. We can rest in him. We can experience the peace, my peace I give to you. And we can just be grateful for the gospel. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for my brothers and sisters and their transparency and willing to open up and share. And we need this good news in our lives. You offer us an abundant life. We want it. And so just keep piling it on. Keep opening our eyes. Keep opening our hearts. Let's just be soaking up how good you are and the depth of your grace and your mercy for us. And help us to walk in a little bit more of that abundant life that you have for us today. And let that be a blessing to the people around us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.